turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Right before that, I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to read a verse to you. And so if you'd find and locate Psalm 118, I'm going to read a verse in the Bible. And this is the verse that is going to, I guess, be used as a springboard to share with you what God has been doing in my heart the last couple days as He's preparing me for the preaching of God's Word on Sunday morning. And then I believe and I trust this is the way He's leading me for the next few Sundays to preach just a short series of messages that go along with our theme this year of always abounding. And this is some messages that we've heard throughout the course of this year. And I'm going to read a verse. You find Psalm 118 if you would there. But I'm going to read a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. And the verse that you are looking at is going to be the subject that we are going to deal with. But this is the verse that speaks to this short series of messages that the Lord has laid on my heart. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, moreover, it is required. All right, now if the Bible uses the word, or if God uses the word required, we take heed, right? This is something that God requires for us. And we want to live in obedience to the way that God tells us, or with what God tells us to do. So he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Again, I'll read it. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The little short series of messages that I believe that the Lord is stirring in my heart for Sunday mornings for the next few weeks is with the thought of always abounding in faithful stewardship. Always abounding in faithful stewardship. We want to be wise and faithful stewards of all that God has given to us and all that He has blessed us with. What is a steward? When we think of that word steward, we see it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. We see it in other places of the Bible as well. The Bible even gives Jesus, in His earthly ministry, even gave us parables that talked about stewards and the way that they responded to what they were given. Well, what is a steward? A steward is a person who is to carefully watch over something been entrusted to him or entrusted to his care. So if we would say today that we are to be responsible with things that have been entrusted to our care, we would say that every one of us are then stewards. Every one of us need to be faithful in our stewardship, or to carefully take the things that have been given to us, that have been entrusted to us, and treat them in a wise way and respond according to the way that God would have us to respond. Well, today's specific subject about always abounding in faithful stewardship is found in Psalm 118 and verse number 24. I want us to look at that with me if you would. Psalm 118, and look down if you found Psalm 118 to verse number 24. It might be a familiar verse to you. You might have heard this verse before. It might be one you even have memorized this morning. But we're going to use this as a way to get into the thought this morning of what we're going to talk about. It says this in Psalm 118 and verse number 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a song that we sing, that little chorus that goes along with this particular Bible verse. As a matter of fact, we sang it this morning on the bus, and I gave them a heads up. I said, anybody who's on the bus singing this song with me this morning, it's going to be part of what I'm preaching from as a text today. So Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The thought this morning is this: every single day that God has given to us is a gift from God, isn't it? Every day, every 24-hour period that you have is a gift from Almighty God. And the Bible teaches us here in Psalm 118 and verse 24 that we to approach the day that God gives to us each and every day, because it's a gift from Him, we're to approach it with joy and with gladness. He says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not to be miserable about the time that God has provided for you and the day he's given to you, but to approach the day that God gives you with joy and gladness. And here's the thought this morning, that we would be a wise steward of each day that God has given to us and the time that God has given to us as well, to manage our time wisely. God gives us days on earth, and because of the one who has given us days as a gift from him, then I think that he ought to be the one who directs the ways that we spend it. Now, I understand that because we have a free choice, it's us that choose how we spend that day, but we ought to allow God's word to dictate to us or direct us in the way that we should spend our day, because after all, he's the one that has given us every single day as a gift from God. So let's be faithful stewards then of our time. That's the thought this morning. We're going to preach this short series of message on always abounding in faithful stewardship. Well, the thought this morning is this, that we ought to be faithful stewards of the time that God has given to us. Faithful stewards of the time God gives to us, the days that he gives us on earth. You know, if you would think about that subject of time for a moment this morning, time is really a universal thing. What I mean by that is this. We have all been blessed with the same amount of time in each day, haven't we? So it's not as if God gives a gift of days and a gift of time to certain people in a greater way. Instead, time is a universal thing. We've all been blessed with 24 hours in a day, right? We've all been blessed with 7 days in a week. And we all have the blessing from God or the gift from God of 365 days in a year. So we think of time as being universal. Everybody has the same amount of time. Everybody has the same amount of days in a week, same amount of days in a year as well. And someone once said this about the time that God gives us. They said it this way. They said that life is made up of a series of todays. See, you have today, and then when we reach tomorrow, you would say, I have today, I have this day. So think about that in your life. It's made up, your life is made up of a series of todays. And so the question by way of application this morning is, what will you do with the todays that God gives you? If life is made up of a series of todays, what will you do with the todays God gives you? By the way, what will you do with the today God gave you today? What will you do with the day that he gives you tomorrow? And so because time is universal, we all have the same amount of time, and it's a gift that God has given to us, we are to then be faithful stewards of the days and the time that God gives us on earth. I trust that this message this morning will be an encouragement to you, and I trust we walk away from here today considering how I can be a faithful steward of the time that God gives to me in my earthly journey. I want to give you a couple thoughts this morning about using our time wisely, being a faithful steward of the time that God gives us while we're here on earth. The first thought I want to give to you this morning is this. Number one, time is limited. Time is limited. Now, I understand that everybody knows this, but we would make the statement that time is not unlimited. It's not an infinite thing, meaning that someday this time that we have here on earth is going to come to an end. So time is limited. I want you to take your Bible with me, if you would, and we'll turn to various places in the Scripture this morning, so it'd be good for you to have your Bible nearby you there. If you turn to James chapter 4, James chapter 4 in the New Testament of our Bible, and look down, if you would, at verse number 14. James chapter 4 and verse number 14, this verse reminds us of the fact that time is limited. It says in James 4 and verse number 14, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You know, there are some that in their mind, they are always considering the next day or what I've got going on tomorrow. And certainly not a bad thing, because it's good to have a schedule. It's good to have a list of things that we need to get accomplished. That's always a good thing. But God warns us, we cannot, as a matter of fact, he even says it this way in Proverbs chapter 24, chapter 27 and verse number 1. He says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. See, here's the thought about time. Time is limited. We know that one day our time on this earth is going to come to an end. So we don't all know that we are going to have tomorrow, do we? It could be that someone's time on this earth may come to an end even before tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying that statement because I'm wishing that or hoping that now. I'm just saying that we have to live that way, don't we? We have to understand that time is limited. We cannot boast ourselves of the next day. And notice what he says in verse 14 again. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is here for just a short time. And then the Bible tells us our life will vanish away or we'll have to face the time of death. So we know our time is limited. Matter of fact, if you would even in your mind think about the illustration he uses there, he uses a vapor. I like to think about the winter time. We'll go outside in the winter time and you'll be able to see your breath, but how long do you get to see it there? Just for a moment. And then it's gone. In comparison to eternity, Jesus says that's how short or how brief the brevity of our life is what he's talking about here. How brief our life is, especially in comparison to eternity. It's like a vapor that's there for a moment and then it's gone and we have no idea how long our time is on this earth. I want you to take your Bible and turn to another passage. This is in the Old Testament of our Bible in Psalm 39. Psalm 39. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. Psalm 39 and verse number 4. The psalmist reminds us about the brevity of life. How short our life is, especially, again, in comparison to eternity. He's reminding us of the fact that time is limited. Time is not something that's unlimited. It's not something that's infinite. It is limited. We saw it as a vapor. We saw the thought in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1. We're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Now look at Psalm 39 and verse number 4. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You think about the brevity of life, but you think about the frailty of life as well. Now, you and I both know situations of individuals that maybe could have had, could have been even in perfect health, and then in a matter of just a short time have had challenges with their health and maybe even left this earth because of it. That's how quick life can be gone. That's how frail life is. Notice what he says in verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breath. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And in the end of the verse, he uses the word Selah. That's the idea there. Think about what has been just said. Think about the truth that you just read there in verse 4 and verse number 5. He says at the start of verse number 5, he says, Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. The idea there is that they are passing swiftly. Matter of fact, we know that's true because a lot of times we even verbalize that, don't we? We say, man, I can't believe how quick the days are going, right? You've said that before, haven't you? Man, I can't believe we're already in the month of August. Man, it just seems like this year's gone so fast. We make statements like that, don't we? And then we'll make statements sometimes to children. Hey, well, you got to be careful when you're older, man. Time will go so fast and the days just go so quick. And we say statements like that, don't we? Our life passes swiftly, doesn't it? It passes quickly. And so the thought is that time is limited. So there's a big challenge that goes along with this. There's a big challenge today. Because time is limited, we have to make sure our eternity is settled. Before we get into any challenge for a Christian today, for somebody that does know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, before we get to any of those challenges at all, because life is limited, we have to make sure our eternity is settled. We have to make sure that we know we're going to spend eternity with Christ. Not to say, well, I think so, or I hope so, or maybe, or there's a pretty good chance. You know, according to God's word in 1 John chapter 5, we can know that we have eternal life. And you say, well, how can you know that? Well, the Bible tells us that we've got to get to a place that every one of us would realize that we're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the gospel message. This lets us know how we can know for sure that our eternity eternity is settled. We're all sinners. And with that, because of our sin, there's a punishment that comes along with our sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, an eternal punishment separated from God for all of eternity. No fellowship, no relationship with God, no eternity with Him, but instead separated to a place of punishment called hell for all of eternity. That's the result of your sin. You've sinned, there's a punishment or something that you deserve. Now that all seems like bad news, but then we get to the good news. Because the Bible says that God loves the sinner. Man, that's an encouragement this morning, isn't it? God loves the sinner. And God commendeth His love toward us, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God proved or demonstrated or showed His love to us. While we were sinners, He died for us. He went to the cross. He hung on that cross. We weren't there, but we believe it by faith. And one day our faith will become sight if Jesus as our Savior, and we'll be able to have an opportunity to spend eternity with Him. So you say, all right, I'm a sinner. There's a punishment for my sin. God loved me so much that He died for me. Well, what do I need to do? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the Bible says, with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Has there been a time? And has there been a place in your life where you can say, I can go back to that time and I can go back to that place where I called out to Jesus in simple faith, praying and asking God, telling God I'm a sinner, believing that He died for me and that He was buried and He rose again, and asking Him to be my Savior? Can you go back to that time? And can you go back to that place in your life where you've done that and you've put your trust in Him? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You don't deserve it. But because you put your faith and trust in God, He says, I'll save you. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's not about believing in water baptism. It's not about believing and saying, I've given to the church, or I've lived a pretty good life. My good outweighs my bad. That's not how we get to heaven. We come the way that Jesus has provided. And He died on that cross for us. And we put our faith and trust in Him. And we can have the assurance. It can be settled in our heart, and we can know for sure that we're going to spend eternity with Him. That's hope, isn't it? When we know we're going to spend eternity with Christ, and because our time is limited, the challenge this morning is this: make sure your eternity is settled. But for the Christian, for the one that has their eternity settled, and you say, I have the assurance, I have the hope of heaven. Well, because time is limited, let's get serious about using the time that God has given to us wisely. And let's get serious, about how we spend our days. Number one this morning, time is limited. But number two this morning, I want you to notice that time is valuable. Time is limited, but if we are to be wise stewards of the time that God has given to us, and we're to be wise about it, we got to realize time is limited, but we've got to realize that the time that we have left on earth is valuable. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Psalm. You might already be there. We looked at Psalm 39. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And when you found Psalm 90, would you look at verse number 9? Psalm 90 and down to verse number 9. We said time is limited, but number two, time is valuable. Look at Psalm 90 and verse number 9. It says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Look at the end of verse 9. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Here's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying that throughout our days on this earth, we are writing a storybook. Our life is a story, isn't it? It's a tale that is told. Someone once said it this way, and I think it's a good illustration. They said that when you'll see the date of somebody or the year of somebody's birth, and you'll see the year of their death, and then that little dash in between, that is the tale that's told. That's the story of your life. What you accomplished during that period of that dash, between the year you were born and the year that you died, that's what he's speaking of here. He's saying this is, our life is like a storybook. Our name is on the cover. And we're writing a story about our lives. Would you look at verse number 10? He said, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, if we get to a place where we've lived to be 80. And some of you in here would say, I've accomplished that. I've lived to be 70. I've accomplished that. I've lived to be 80. Maybe some even above that. And you say, I've lived those years that God would say would be the average years of living, and even farther above the average years of living, to be able to even make it to 80. He said, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Meaning that no matter how many years God gives you, and by the way, we don't know how many they are. We'll talk about that in a moment. We don't know how many they are. But all of the years God gives you, you have to look at them as being valuable years, valuable moments, valuable minutes and days and months and years that God gives you on this earth, because they are soon going to fly away. Our days on this earth will come to an end. Would you skip verse 11 and look down to verse number 12 if you would? He said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We only have a certain number of days. By the way, only God knows that. Only God knows that. There's no one in here today that would be able to say, well, I know the exact moment of my death. And by the way, because we don't know that, that's why we have to make sure eternity is settled. Because we don't know what we're going to have tomorrow. Our life's just a vapor. We talked about that. So only God knows the number of days that we are going to live. And so because we only have a certain number of days, let's make sure that we are valuing the days that God has given to us. Can I say this by way of maybe an application or a truth or maybe something that could help you this morning? You cannot redo or undo time and days with anything that's happened in those time and days that God has given to you. You can't redo them. You can't undo them. So all of the days that God has given you from this point forward, to be able to use them wisely for the honor and the glory of the Lord. When those days are gone and when that time is gone, they cannot be regained. So let's understand the value of the time God has given to us. Can I say this? As years and days and as time begins to dwindle, it also helps us to understand that the ones that are still left ahead of us, it helps us to understand they are growing more valuable, aren't they? Man, as I look past and I see that probably the days that I've already lived are going to certainly outnumber the ones that I still have left, may they grow to be more valuable to us. To say, God, I'm looking back. A lot of years are already gone, but I've got some perhaps that lie ahead. May they become valuable to us as we look at the days that God gives us. Now, we don't know how many days He's given to us, but again, we're to use them wisely and we're to look at them as being days that are valuable for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Would you look at Romans chapter 13 for a moment? Romans chapter 13 and look at verse number 11. Romans chapter 13 and look with me if you would at verse number 11. This reminds us again of the truth that our days on this earth, our time that God has given to us, is valuable. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that, notice this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. He says it's time to wake up. It's time to be alert because of the days that we are living in. Look at what he says. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You say, what is he trying to say here? What is Paul trying to say to the church of Rome here in the book of Romans? He's trying to say that the day of the return or the coming of the Lord is closer to you now than the day that you believed. And of course, we understand that that makes sense, right? When I put my faith and trust in the Lord, every day that goes forward from there, it's closer to the day that the Lord's going to return. It's closer to the day that he's going to come back, and it's closer to the time in which I will no longer have time and I'll no longer have days on earth. So notice what he says in verse number 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's almost as if Paul is saying here in the book of Romans what the hymn writer in our hymnal says, work, for the night is coming. The hymn writer said it that way. Work, for the night is coming when man's work is done. Our work and our time on this earth is someday going to come to an end. So may we work while we can. And then I'll give a challenge to the younger folks that are here today. A challenge to the younger folks. That you not squander the time that God gives you, because there'll come a day when you might be hindered from accomplishing that which you maybe could have done in your younger days. You know, some that are maybe a little older here, they may say, I look back on my younger days and I realize that the days that lie ahead of me, those things I probably can't accomplish anymore. So maybe we look back and we say, if I'd have perhaps used my time a little bit wiser, or maybe we'd look back and say, I'm thanking the Lord that I did that. Well, I had the strength to do it. So let's not allow our time to squander, because time is limited and time is valuable. Let's make every moment that is left as a moment that is valuable for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our third and our final thought this morning. And that thought is this morning. Number one, time is limited, so that we need to be a wise steward of it. We need to be always abounding in faithful stewardship of our time. Number one, time is limited. Number two, time is valuable. But the third thought this morning is this, is that time is to be spent wisely. And I'm going to add another word. Time is to be spent wisely, but time is to be spent eternally as well. Time is to be spent in a wise way, but the time that God gives us is to be things of eternal value. You say, well, where do you find that in the Word of God? Well, that's what we're going to look at. Look with me, if you would, at the book of Ephesians for a moment. The book of Ephesians, and I want you to look at chapter number 5. God requires us to use our time wisely, and He also requires us to use our time on that which is of eternal value, living each day with an eternal perspective. This, as the hymn writer said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Matthew says it well, the book of Matthew says it well, when he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice what the book of Ephesians says. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 15. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here's what verse number 15 is trying to tell us. Listen, let's not be foolish with the way that we live our lives. Let's be walking carefully. Let's be walking wisely. That word circumspectly in that verse, if you look back there to verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly has the idea of diligently. We're to walk diligently. We're to walk carefully. We're to walk accurately. Why? He says, don't walk as foolish people. Walk as wise people. Be careful about the way that we walk. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that we have an enemy. And it says, because we have an enemy, that we're to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, is walking about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And so because the devil, our enemy, wants to destroy us, and he wants to devour us, we need to be walking carefully, we need to be walking diligently, we need to be walking accurately. But then notice what he says in verse number 16, if you would. Here's the command he gives to us. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now that word redeeming has the idea of buying up. So we would word it this way. We would say God is asking us to buy up the opportunities or the time that we have and devote it to Him. We're to buy it up. We're to take advantage of it. If God gives us opportunities, if God has given us time on this earth, we're to buy it up. We're to take advantage of it, and we're to devote that time to our God that we serve. And so if you want, here's what he's saying. If you want to make your life count for Christ, you better start making it count now. You say, well, I want my life to count for Christ, but I'm going to hold off a few years. No, if you want your life to count for Christ, you better make it count now. He says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Buy up opportunities. You know, opportunities can come and they can go, and it's up to us to be able to take advantage of the opportunities, not to let them pass us by. That's what he's saying here. He's saying redeem the time. Look at verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, spend time accomplishing God's will for your life. If there's something wise you can do with your time, spend time accomplishing what God's will for your life is. Really, it's Paul's way of saying, don't waste your time. Don't waste your days on things that are temporary, things that are temporal, things that are treasures that you're laying up down here on earth. They're gonna rust. They're going to fade away. Thieves can break through and steal those. But he's encouraging us to lay up our treasure in heaven as the Bible teaches us. So we ought to have some wise stewardship. We ought to have some wise investment when it comes to our time. And I want to challenge you with three ways that we can do that this morning. Three ways that we can wisely invest or wisely become stewards of the time that God has given to us. We're simply saying this. We're going to use our time in a wise way, and we're going to allow it to be guided by God. He's going to guide our time. So how do we do that? Number one, I want to challenge you this morning that you need to invest your time, number one, in God. Invest your time in God. If time is limited, we need to invest time in God. If we would say that the time that we have left is valuable, let's make sure we're wise with it. Let's make sure we're not foolish with it. Let's make sure we're thinking about things of eternity. So let's invest our time in God. Now, I'm not going to read all of these verses, several verses I wanted to read, but in Luke chapter number 10, starting in verse number 38, the Bible tells us a story of two ladies. One of their names is Martha, the other is Mary. And the Bible tells us that Martha is busy and she's working and she's laboring, trying to get things ready. And the Bible tells that as she's laboring and she's working, that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus says to Martha, when she's so worried and bothered by the fact that Mary's not helping, Jesus says to Martha, Mary hath chosen the thing that is needful. Spending time at the feet of Jesus is that which is needful. You know, the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2 that we are to set our affections on things above. Let's make sure our affections are on things of eternity and the things of God. Let's invest our time in God today. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 10, you might recognize the verse because as a church family we memorized it. That I may know who? That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the suffering of His death being made conformable unto Christ, that I may know Him. You say, well, how do I get to know God better every day? You've got to spend time with Him, don't you? You've got to invest your time in God. Your relationship with God is the most important way you can possibly spend your time. I'll say it one more time. Your relationship and your fellowship with God is the most important way that you can possibly spend your time. So I'll go a step further and say this. Everything else we spend our time on ought to revolve around the fellowship and the relationship that we have with God. So if I'm going to spend time with God, everything else that I'm spending my extra time on revolves around the fellowship that I have with God. So devote every day to developing a disciplined walk with God. There's a little chorus in our hymnal, and it says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Can I encourage you to spend time developing a disciplined walk with the Lord? You say, how do I do that? You got to spend time in prayer. You've got to spend time talking to Him, investing time with God. Spend time talking to Him, and then spend time reading His Word, because that's His way of speaking to you as well. So number one, if we're going to invest our time wisely, we've got to invest our time in God. But then number two, can I encourage you to invest your time in others? Invest your time in others. Now there's a few ways the Bible teaches us we can do that. Would you look at a few verses with me? Look at Colossians chapter 4 for just a moment. Colossians chapter 4 in our Bibles in verse number 5. We're investing our time in God, but we're investing our time in others. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 says this. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now we're going to come back to this verse in just a minute, so we're not going to go away from it and not explain it. But for a moment, we'll take a time to go away from it. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Then look with me, if you would, quickly to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. So we're in 1 John chapter 3, and verse number 17, we're just taking a quick journey through the scriptures here and see what the Bible says about a few of these things. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17, it says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion with him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue." It's easy to say you love with your mouth, right? He said, let's not just say we love with our words or our tongue, but in deed and in truth. Put action to it, right? Now let's look at another verse. Would you look at John chapter 13 with me? John chapter 13, and we're going to come back to these in just a moment. John chapter 13, and look at verse 34 and verse 35 towards the end of the Gospel of John chapter 13. Verse 34 and 35, it says this, "A new commandment is given to you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, right before we come back to these, let's read one more verse. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. Again, we're just taking a quick journey here through what the Bible has to say about our time invested in others. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. I love these verses. "And let us consider one another." All right, so he says, let's consider one another. Let's use our time to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's go back to those verses that we just read for a minute, and let's consider how we can invest our time in others. We just read a series of verses that teach us how to do that. Number one, we ought to witness to the lost. Did you notice it talked about redeeming our time, and it says we're to consider those that are without. Now, when it says the word without there, it doesn't mean they're without needs that they have need of. They're lacking something. No, it just means that they're without, meaning they're not in the faith. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior. And so because they are out or they're outside of the family of God, we need to redeem our time or take advantage of the time God gives us to invest in others by witnessing to those that are lost. But then I think we've also been challenged in these verses that we read that we're also to build up the body of Christ. We're to show love one towards another. Remember what he said? If you have love one towards another, that's a way of others knowing that you are my disciples. And then he said, consider one another, that you provoke unto love and to good works. We're to build up the body of Christ by showing love one towards another. That's how we invest our time in others. We're investing our time in the lost. We're investing our time in building up others that are in the church family around us. Can I say this? You ought to spend time also investing in your family at home. You ought to spend time investing in your family at home. That's a way to invest in others. Fathers to invest in the lives of their children. Mothers to invest time in the lives of their children. Grandparents, oh, what a role you have, right? To invest in the lives of your grandchildren and say, I'm going to take a portion of my time to invest my life in others. Husbands to invest their time in their wives. Wives to invest their time in their husbands. God's saying this should happen as we invest our time in one another. But then he specifically even started talking about the church, didn't he? He says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So part of our time is invested in church, isn't it? You say, how is my time invested in church? Well, just attending the services takes your time, doesn't it? So you say, I'm going to take my time to invest in the house of God. That's allowing me to invest in others. But also remember, everything revolves around my relationship with who? It revolves around my relationship with God. See, I've invested time in God, but now I want to invest time in others because my family is important to God. And if I've got a right relationship with God, then I'm going to invest time in my family. And then I'm going to invest time in those that are lost around me. And then I'm going to try to build up and encourage the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to be faithful to the services of the church, but not just investing your time in the services of the church, but investing your time in serving the Lord at the church as well. Oh, one of the highlights, I believe, with all of my heart, one of the highlights for my family is opportunities that we get to serve the Lord together as a family. Hey, can I encourage you? Invest your time not only in attending the services of the church, but serving the Lord together. Finding a place where you say, I'm going to invest my time in serving the Lord. And then can I encourage you with one more thought here as far as investing your time in others? We dealt with it a little bit last Sunday morning because we were talking about making sure we examined ourselves before we partook of the Lord's table. Can I encourage you this morning that you make sure that things are right between you and others? If we're going to invest our time in others, some of the ways that we ought to invest our time in others is in forgiveness and making sure that we're reconciled to others. Remember what we said last week that Paul said? He said he wanted to have a conscience that was void always now. A conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. To make sure that we're spending time in reconciling relationships if there's problems there and seeking forgiveness so that we're making sure that we're investing time in others the right way. So how do we invest our time? Number one, in God. We invest our time in others. But the last statement I want to give you, I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and I want you to notice a verse here as we're drawing our message to a close. Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me if you would in verse number 1, and I'm going to give you the last thought this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, here's the last thought. I'm going to use my time wisely and for things of eternity by investing my time in God, by investing my time in others, but also investing my time in my needs as well. You say, well, wait a minute. Investing my time in my needs, doesn't that sound a little selfish? Well, look at what God says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. He says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, watch this, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Here's what God's saying. Yes, part of our time ought to be to invest in God, and it ought to be investing in others around us. But we have to make sure personally, too, that we are prioritizing our time to accomplish God's purpose for our life. God says that Paul says here that we are to walk worthy. Whatever it is that God has called us to do, we ought to walk worthy of it. That means we're going to have to invest some time and we're going to have to prioritize some time to accomplish God's purpose for our life. That God would make us useful, that's a good word, isn't it? That God would make us useful. That we would spend some time allowing God to make us productive. That we would spend some time asking God, God, I want you to help me to have a meaningful life. That my life will count for Christ. That my life will count for the things of eternity. So young people that are sitting in here that are school aged, that's God's desire for your life right now. That you'd be the best student that you can possibly be for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Those that work a job that are sitting in here today, we're prioritizing our time to say, yes, I'm going to work hard. And by the way, that's a good thing, isn't it? Part of our time ought to be spent in working hard. You think about what Jesus did, or God did, when he created. He worked for 6 days and then he rested for one, didn't he? He showed us the importance of working hard. Working hard's a good thing, and you know what working hard does? It allows us to have a life that's useful, right? A life that's productive, a life that's meaningful, a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord as we're doing what He would have for us to do. And then prioritizing some time for rest because we need it, don't we? We have to admit we need time of rest. Sometimes we can get so busy that we're not resting up to be all that God needs us to be. So yes, we insert some time of rest in there to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves so that we can be all that God wants us to be. And then the things that we use our time on that are necessities, taking care of ourselves in that way. There are some necessities that are important in our life that we need to take care of. And then the fun and the activities and the things of enjoyment that we can spend our time on. It's not a bad thing to do all of those things, is it? It just has to be prioritized, doesn't it? And God's saying these are the things we have to think about when it comes to our time, to balance our schedule in such a way where we're always keeping an eternal focus. God, I'm balancing my schedule in such a way that I've always got an eternal focus, using my time in ways that please God, using my time in ways that bring Him glory, considering what He deems to be valuable, that which then in my life I deem to be valuable. So I'm going to give you a couple thoughts to finish this message off, and then I'm going to give you a couple questions for you to answer in your heart about being a wise steward of the time that God has given you. The thought simply is this: if we don't keep busy with things worthwhile and things that are of eternal value, Satan is going to tempt us to do things that are that are worthless. Let's make sure that we're keeping ourselves involved in things that are of eternal value so that Satan doesn't tempt us to get involved in things that are worthless. Maybe today it would be important for somebody to even evaluate the time that we spend with technology. A lot of times we could spend time in front of a screen and it's so much time's passed and we say, man, I wasn't spending time on anything that was worthwhile at all. Boy, that's Satan's desire, isn't it? Matter of fact, you even think about a smartphone today. So the smartphones have, I don't know if it's an application, I don't know if it's just something in the settings, but they have an ability for you to manage your screen time. I mean, in and of itself, this could get out of hand. You got to be careful with this. You got to manage this. Oh, let's be encouraged today to prioritize our time the right way so we're not allowing Satan to tempt us to use our time with that which is not worthwhile at all. Can I encourage you with this second thought this morning? We're going to one day give an account of the way we used our time. You know, the Bible talks about how we're going to have to stand before the Lord. And we're going to have to give an account of the things that we've done in our body. We're going to have to give an account of the way that we used our time. And would you consider this morning? We're going to have to give an account of the way we used our time to the one who gave us the time. He's the one that gave it to us. And we're going to have to stand before Him. And we're going to have to give an account of the way we used our lives, or excuse me, our time. And can I encourage you? That would be a motivation then to say, I want to be wise with it. I want to be wise with the time that God has given me, especially what I have left, and to use that time wisely. Someone once said this statement. They said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. How much are you accomplishing for the world that is coming or future eternity, what lies ahead? Let's take advantage of the time God gives us with eternity's values in view. Some questions this morning as we evaluate what we've heard from the Word of God. Can I encourage you to evaluate your time and your schedule today maybe? Perhaps it'd be good for you in your heart to say, I'm going to evaluate the way I'm spending my time. I'm going to evaluate what my schedule is today, and maybe it'll help you to answer some questions. Are you spending sufficient time with God? Are you spending sufficient time focusing on investing time with Him? You know, maybe there'd be somebody this morning that would say, that is what I need to work on this morning. Just to wisely spend time investing time with God. Maybe God would encourage you that way. How would you answer this question this morning? What things do I do that are not accomplishing much for eternity? Now again, it doesn't mean that every moment that we spend has to accomplish something for eternity, but how can you keep those things in their right priority though? We got to keep them in their right priority. Now I'm a guy that loves sports. I mean, I love sports. But it's got to be in the right priority. It has to be managed still wisely. And so you might have an interest, but to make sure that God, the priority with Him and time with Him is what is most important. And then the last question I'll ask you is this: what could you possibly add or maybe remove from your schedule that would make each day more focused on God, more focused on others, more focused on accomplishing for yourself what would be His will and that which is eternal in your life? How are we managing our time? There's a song that's been written, and I've heard it many times. Some of you maybe have heard the words of this song, and the title of the song is To Count for Jesus. Do you want your life to count for Him? When time comes to an end and we're spending eternity with Him, I trust today, if you know Him as Savior. If not, I trust you'll get that settled today. But when time comes to spend eternity with the Lord, would you be able to say your time and your life has counted for Jesus. Listen to the words of this song that was written. It says, all want their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will count for nothing. Time will erase whatever we do. The chorus of the song says, I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. The last verse says, inside my heart there burned a question. What was placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. Is your life and the way that you're using your time counting for Jesus? Let's always abound in faithful stewardship of the time that God has given to us. Father, I pray that you'd use the message that was given this morning to encourage our hearts and to speak to us in this time of invitation.